Two titles are on the line on an episode of NXT that felt like a takeover. Adam Cole retains, Rhea Ripley straight yokes a referee to become champion, and Kushida had a new hat for just a while. We're talking about all of that on the final NXT After Show of the year on AfterBuzz TV. Let's go!
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now,
Yo, the sounds of Iron Man, MT Mac, Mac Lynch knows it's the one thing. It's NXT. It is the Wednesday night delight. Happy holidays, everybody. It is December 18th. We're about a week away from Christmas. And even less from Hanukkah, y'all. I want to say happy holiday season greetings. All of that. But you see, NXT today was amazing. We had matches. We had title defenses. We got promos. And we're going to do all of that. But before we do, let's introduce our all-star holiday panel. On the far far left, this guy knows the reason for the season. He is the Silent Knight. David Christopher, how's it going, sir?
That is true. It's going good. I am in the best place to be, the best after show, NXT after show, that is, because we are cooler than the North Pole.
Yeah, so. I love it. Take that.
And I'm wearing this awesome sweatshirt as
That's
well.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Speaking of things that are now as cool as we are, at AEW Dynamite after shows right after this, but on his right, she is the Poinsettia Princess. She is a peppermint powerhouse. Give it up for the Emmy-nominated Emily May.
Hey, everyone. I love that intro.
I tried.
I'm gonna get that.
We need to have him like everywhere we go, right? He's like the best hype man ever.
Princess, right here.
Aw, DMV, please welcome him.
Changing my name.
And of course, the guy in the booth, he is hanging out, making sure everything is smooth. Mr. Rye Guy, how you doing?
Yeah. Hey, how we doing, y'all?
We're good, man. Star Wars news, how's it going, man?
It's going well. The Rise of Skywalker is coming out tomorrow night, and man, the holiday season is full effect. I got some old school black and white lighting today.
I love it, man. It's a wonderful nice. Life. Dude, check out Star Wars news. It's amazing. I love it. It's one of the best shows on AfterBuzz TV, if you haven't already. NXT! Overall thoughts, this show was billed as one of the biggest of the year, a midwinter finale, if you will. Thoughts with the idea?
Oh, man, you know, there was a lot of anticipation leading up to this show. I think it delivered in some aspects. I think, you know, the new champion definitely made the night. But I think it was, I don't know if it was full takeover realm, but I'm enjoying it. I know, I'm sorry.
Fuck Rock, talk to me, man. Overall thoughts about anything?
You know, I liked it. I actually really liked it. I think it was one of my more favorite NXTs that we've had, you know, because it's up and down. But uh-huh. I think, you know, obviously being a Finn fan, I was pretty bummed about that. Yeah. I was disappointed.
Finn fan.
But it balanced out for me a little bit because, again, I was backing Ripley, and I did call that. And I said she's going to take it.
Yeah.
So it balanced out for me a little bit. And I thought the matches in between, they were actually very good. I was entertained. The performances, the athletes they put on a phenomenal show. So overall, I thought it was a good take.
So I'm kind of in the middle. I feel like the matches tonight had a reason for happening. They weren't just like random, like, you know, jobber matches or, hey, I never saw this person before. So everything had a purpose. But at the same time, it was like, of all the 2 week build shows I've seen, there were stronger ones overall. Not hating NXT. I love NXT. It's a Wednesday night delight. I'm just saying that the in between was a little bit of a nougat in the middle.
Well, it was kind of like your favorite. It was like, the caramel in the middle of the chocolate bar. You got some really great stuff in the beginning and, you know.
All right, hard question.
Caramel in the middle.
Putting you on the spot. Favorite candy bar.
Favorite candy bar? Oh, Snickers.
Okay, classic choice.
Snickers. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you on the Snickers. That's normally my go-to. But just to be different, I'll say Kit Kat.
Oh, see, Kit Kat was going to be my B choice.
Same wavelength. There you go.
Yeah. I'm a simple man, and I'm Three Musketeers.
That's a good one, too. That's probably like number five or something.
top five. All right, top of the match right here, we had Adam Cole against Finn Balor, NXT Heavyweight Championship on the line. Adam Cole was on the bump today, basically saying the NXT title is probably the most prestigious title in the company, if not the world. Did the match deliver? Punk Rock, let me know.
Bold statement. That's a bold statement over all the titles in you know,
the one he has, obviously. It's the best,
You know what? I mean, and here's the thing. I gave Adam Cole, you know, some stuff in the past. He gave him a hard time in the past, right?
Yeah.
I will say I was really impressed with his performance today. I really was. He put on a great show. Mm-hmm. I mean, him and Finn tore it down. I was disappointed that Finn lost. But, I mean, good for Adam Cole. I mean, a good push. Finn got him over. I mean, and props to Finn for doing that as well. That's really awesome. And, you know, let's see where this goes. Now, obviously, Gargano's coming in, and that's going to be the feud with Finn. So does that mean Ciampa or Lee now with Adam Cole? Is that where we're going? But, I mean, the match, it was great. I really liked it. You can tell they're both very competitive in the match. It was very back and forth. The maneuvers were, it was on point. Yeah. I liked it.
The chat's blowing up for Kit Kat, apparently. They really love Kit Kats.
Yeah.
Mine's yeah, too.
Mine's just Hobo Realm, but he's the only one. Not the Kit Kats. Thoughts about the match?
So, for me, I felt like Balor and Cole had this amazing dynamic where they are so good at what they do that they went in there and I felt like, you know, they both brought the energy, they both brought the intensity that was needed in order to make this championship match, like, you know, believable.
Right.
And I think, you know, they work towards each other's injuries and like their vulnerabilities and, you know, there was, you know, Balor's really great at and all of those like super kicks and super kicks.
I mean, he caught a good one when he came down. He cut that. It was like it was almost like a HBK esque. I was like, oh, okay, that was pretty good.
And I have to say,
everything is always HBK. Yeah. This guy. That's always
I have to give a shout out for all the commentary on this match because my favorite line was that Balor was faster than a caffeinated hummingbird.
Yes, I heard that.
I was like, that is brilliant because they both were working so fast, but all of their moves were so deliberate and so on point that it just made it really engaging to watch.
Oh, that's fair enough. I mean, Adam Cole retains, Johnny Gargano's in the mix against Balor. That's all set up. Okay. Is that the way you would have done it? Would you have Gargano come out and have Finn distracted? Would you have Gargano interfere with the match causing a DQ? Was that the right call tonight?
Yeah. I mean, part of, you know, I had mixed feelings about, you know, Gargano coming out and distracting Balor because it was such, the match was so good, and then that happened, and it felt like such an extended period of time of a distraction that I felt it felt a little less believable that Balor would fall for something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I say no. Again, I like I've said in the past, I think Finn should have took the belt. And I think, if anything, then we could have had Gargano come out and start the feud from there, maybe attack him. You know, maybe when Finn comes out and does his promo or something, or even maybe Adam Cole and Gargano, and we take this into like a triple threat match or something like that. More build up, you know, but no discredit to Adam Cole, but I think Finn should take the belt.
I agree with you guys. I'm just saying, you have one stable with all the belts. You want to have Adam Cole drop it first? I just saw it coming. I'm just putting it out there. I make fun of the storyline. I make fun of the draped in gold thing, but if I was a creative writer for WWE and someone's like, make this brand compelling with all your belts with one group, I'd be like, I quit. I can't do it. It's way too hard, man. Charles and the writers, man, they get the crap on a lot, but they're good people. I also want to shout out to all the people in the chat. I want to say you guys have been amazing all year. I'm talking guys like Maj and Dylan, especially Dylan. He's sending me so many gifs and gifts.
So many gifs.
I feel like I'm a superstar. You know what I mean? Like Maria, Lucci Baby was reaching out to me talking about the show. You guys are amazing. If anyone I'm forgetting, man, I just want to say thank you too because I know you guys tune in. Gino Hour, Eternal Shockwave. I mean, you guys are the reason why. Charlene, you guys are the reason why we do this. But moving on, before we get to our next match, Rye Guy, where you at?
I like it already.
Better hit like, you better subscribe. You better make a review on iTunes, Spotify.
Is that Bruce?
NXT after show. NXT after show. NXT after Hello. Show. With Flobo and Emily and David. And I just want to say, every time a wrestling bell rings, an Angel Garza gets its wings.
Yes.
Please go on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Oh, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Back to you, Flobo Boyce.
Yes, thank you so much, Ryan Guy.
I was actually into that, man.
Festive.
Yes, it was.
So festive. Yeah.
He sings the hits. Been their life, so I can say that.
I think we're gonna have an NXT Christmas album coming out with
the new Ryan Guy Springsteen.
All of our songs combined.
Like and subscribe. Our next match was Damian Priest against Killian Dane. This is the match I was talking about earlier, but having resolution. A couple weeks ago, Killian Dane injured Damian Priest, out for retribution tonight. A little bit interesting that with Pete Dunne removed from this dynamic, we essentially got two heels on paper in a grudge match. Did it work out to his favor or was it a detriment? Emily?
Yeah, you know, I felt like it might have been a little detrimental for both of them because they're both coming in here with similar looks and entrances and music that it kind of feels like two heels are going against each other. And it doesn't really drive the story of this big rivalry. And, you know, they're trying to build this, like, bitter battle between these two guys. And, you know, they have incredible moves. They're really great at you know, using their strengths.
Yeah.
But I didn't really feel it in this moment tonight.
Sure. I just want to say in the chat, we didn't forget about Yu Nang Him Q or Joseph Bowles. There's just so many people to name in the chat. They're turning on me in the chat.
Oh, no!
I felt
don't
like I didn't
turn on
absolutely
don't
not
turn
forget
on
about you guys. Absolutely not.
David Christopher, walk me through this, man. We have Killian Dane, who we've talked about weeks on the show, saying he's not really connecting with the audience. Damian Priest has a decent moveset, but also he was kind of an also-ran. Putting these two guys together after the result of the Finn Balor and Adam Cole match, was that a mistake?
You know, I don't think so, especially with these two guys. We got to keep eyes on them. We got to keep this, like we're saying, this feud engaging. It is, I do agree, it is kind of like two heels going at each other, but I was actually pretty impressed with this match, you know, and I think just the way it went, the story they're trying to tell, these two essentially bigger guys going at it, I mean, it was the best I think that they could do with where they were, and I guess the storyline in general, you know. So yeah. I enjoyed it, and to see Dane get the pin was to me, I was like, okay, awesome. I like that. I like where it's going. And then, you know, Priest too. He's one of those guys, as we talked about in the past. Like, where is this guy going? What are we going to do with him? You know. So I'm still kind of, you know, it's like question mark. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Killian Dane, where do you go? I mean, you know, Pete Dunne pretty much rolled over. I mean, they have this match here tonight. I have Damian Priest coming over the victory, but if you're Killian Dane, what's the next threat? What is the next challenge for someone that you're supposed to be an animal, you're supposed to be a beast.
Yeah.
And then your first two guys you interact with beat you clean.
The beast of Belfast.
The beast of Belfast, yeah.
Well, you know, they're building up Dillian Kane and have been for a really long time.
Dope name. Dillian Kane?
Dillian Kane. Dillian Child.
Attorney at law.
Making up names. There's something in the no.
Yeah, yeah. Sweetwater.
they're building up him as, you know, he has these huge lifts and core strength and, you know, just throwing guys around. And you can only do that for so long until you need that appropriate opponent that you can really, like, showcase what you can do. And I feel like they haven't found that niche of where
There were some good spots on this match. There were some awesome maneuvers, big slams. I mean, yeah. Two big guys. But I agree with you. Yeah, we need to see where we need something else for this guy, you know.
We're talking about this a little before the match, yeah. Emily and I. But a wrestling purist would say, why do certain superstars choose wrestling jeans? Does that hurt the overall appeal of someone looking like they're done painting a house or doing some carpentry work and going to work to wrestle?
See, I'm biased on this one because I, you know, in my mind, always envision if I was a wrestler, what would my outfit be? And that just opens a whole new box, you know, can of worms. But one of them would be almost like a, I don't know if we can say his name anymore, Dean Ambrose attire. You know, come with a leather jacket, maybe cut off. I would have the jeans, rock the boots. It's very close to Dean Ambrose. And I was like, yeah, that's cool.
That's what
I
we're
like
talking
that.
About. Yeah. But I don't know how you can wrestle in jeans, though. I mean, even.
There are those jeans that are like stretchy.
Jeggings.
You can't be a badass in jeggings. You can't be like going to soccer practice and I'm going to wrestle afterwards.
Badass in jeggings.
But I guess if we are looking at references, I mean, Ambrose did pull it off, you know.
But I don't know if it works for Killian Dane.
The blue jeans.
My brain. Like I don't think it works because it, you know, it feels like the top part is like really rough and scary, and then the bottom is like
pretty tapered.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah, pretty.
it's funny. Yeah, I'm gonna be on the opposite side of the fence today, but like I actually did like it because it was different for him, and you know, and the way he wrestled, the way the match went, he got the win. You know, for me, it was just like a different Dane. I was like, oh, okay. I did enjoy it. I do understand what you mean. It's like rocking jeans, you know, to work. But I mean, you know, that's what's he gonna wear?
It's casual Fridays.
Right.
Moving on, we had an announcement made tonight. The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic is coming back, probably the third or fourth iteration. I'm excited for this because of what it meant for past winners, like the AOP. But the question I have is, who's going to be in the tournament? And if you guys have a early favorite, or is this just way too early to tell?
Do you have favorites?
It's early, but if we're going to say favorites, it's going to obviously be either Riddle, Keith Lee, or Ciampa.
In a tag team, it'll work as a tag team.
In a tag team?
Oh, no, not tag team. Oh, shoot.
Because, I mean, really, yeah. Jabba would be a dope tag team.
I know. That's like, can we do that?
The Blackheart Bros. Well,
yeah, we did have Riddle and Lee, though, if that comes back.
Yeah, know? For sure.
So I would say Riddle and Lee.
See, I,
wait,
first
that would be kind of cool.
I would say that would be, oh, man, I don't want Lee there. I want Lee in the singles division. Yeah. But last true, year, yeah. Aleister Black and Ricochet won. So it's like, they can pull
people
up.
And that was incredible. Yeah, I don't know. They should mix people up that, like, haven't done in something.
Yeah, I mean,
together.
There are some throwing together teams. Out. Yeah, Dunn and Roderick Strong about 2 years ago. But I always said that this time last year, the Forgotten Sons should have won that tournament only because they needed that more than anyone else. Maybe mm-hmm. this year might be their year. But
maybe.
I always think that's pretty cool to have it around WrestleMania season. All right, so moving on after that, we had a match based on accessories as Cameron Grimes without his hat takes on Kushida with his hat and a classic Emily May. What's up?
Well, that was the first thing I said. Where's his hat? Yeah. I wanted his hat. And then, you know, and then you reminded me. Right. You were like, the hat got taken away.
His power is gone too. Yeah.
The power, I know, what happened? I'm wondering what they're, but I did love Kushida's entrance with the hat. I was like, yeah, that's where it is.
It's like a tourist. Like, wow,
yeah. It felt a little more lighthearted and comedic for Kushida. So that was nice to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kushida's like, has such innovative moves and is so acrobatic and has such intricate, movements that I think, Cameron Grimes is a good match in order to, like, it kind of elevates him a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm still not sure what they're doing, and I do have questions about where they're taking this, because I'm not sure what Cameron Grimes is going to do next.
Right. That's really the next question. David, Chris, before I actually ask you a question, the chat's saying Breezango. Forgot about Breezango's in the mix as well.
Oh,
for the
nice. Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
But the question for you, David, so we have Cameron Grimes with his sick finisher, the cave-in.
Yeah.
Got his hat back. Did it matter if this storyline was wrapped up so quickly, or did you want to see more between Kushida and this interplay, or was it just like the perfect two-week program?
I think it was perfect, to be honest. And I like the contrast of the superstars, the characters mm-hmm. they bring. It's so different. I mean, you know, Kushida, you got that veteran. His maneuvers, his set is just crazy, you know. And then, again, coming up with Grimes, you know, how we're playing a little bit on his character a little bit. But now that he gets his hat back, that tells a story in itself. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah.
It was a great match. You know, I think that was good. Now let's build more. Let's build off of this and let's see what we can do with Grimes and hopefully do something with that character. Because I think using that hat could be something that we can build with, too. I mean, it sounds silly. It is.
Hat's go to Mania.
But, I mean, there's so much. I mean, look at Santino, you know, with his little snake or Sokka with Mick Foley. There's so many little things that are silly like that, but they could actually help build a character.
Absolutely right.
And that could be something for him.
You're right. I can't argue that at all. So it looks like Cameron Grimes is going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
Is it too late for Kushida to connect with the audience? Is there something he's missing to make him like that guy, a star maybe on NXT?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I feel like he has the chance to do it, but I'm not sure if he's had the right opponent yet.
Right.
To really put him over. And, you know, they're doing amazing moves like the German suplex and stuff like that. And, like, he has the ability to do incredible stuff, but I don't know. They're still trying to, like, figure it out.
Yeah.
And but I think he can be put over if they find the right person. I don't know if Grimes was it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kushida, and I mean, his talent is amazing, mm-hmm. you know, and obviously he's been in the game for a long time, and I think that's it, Emily. I think if we just find him the right opponent,
yeah.
I think he still has the opportunity to get over.
Okay, because, I mean, a negative Nancy would say, and there's none here, there's none in the room.
No.
But negative Nancy, if they were here, would say, here's a guy that was, like many people before him, got so many vignettes and promos.
Yeah, he had a lot of promos leading up.
For
yeah.
sure, and granted, the injuries, you can't predict injuries, but he came in and he had a couple matches here and there, was off TV and came back, and now he's in basically an undercard feud with essentially a new breakout talent this mm-hmm. year. He may be stuck there for a while. That's what Negative Nancy would say. That's not me.
Negative Nancy.
I'm totally a face.
I mean, it is. All that's always possible. Absolutely. I agree. But again, like, I'm just going off of, you know, being a positive Paul.
Positive Paul.
Okay. I'll allow this.
And just
because he is so good and there's so much talent there. He's a great athlete. I think, you know, let's give this guy a shot. Hopefully he doesn't get stuck. But yes, it is possible. Nancy.
Sure. Well,
Nancy.
Well, moving on. Speaking of Positive Paul, it's now time for Punk Rocked Pick of the Night.
Woo!
the coolest part of the show. What's
Wait,
up,
what?
Guys?
What?
All right. What's going on, guys? It is Punk Rock's Pin of the Night, and tonight's going to be pretty obvious because for me, I thought it was super awesome to see Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler finally go at it one-on-one. The match was phenomenal. It was very back and forth. Obviously, you had the underdog in Rhea Ripley, her ups, her downs. You had Shayna Baszler playing that heel. We had the interference from her team. There's moments where you're like, oh no, it's Shayna going to pull it off, or is it going to be Ripley? And then the finisher, which was crazy, and we thought she was out.
Yeah.
And she had that Hulk Hogan, like, coming back, you know, coming back. So, I mean, that to me was awesome. And then just to see Ripley finally get it, you know, she's earned it. She deserves it. So that is your Punk Rock Pin of the Night.
Great for killing a referee. So moving on.
It was
different. Though,
yeah,
you know?
I don't pay me enough for this. I just can't. Speaking of women's action, Dark Io Shirai had a match with Santana Garrett. To me, the match was okay. I want your thoughts on the match, of course, but I felt like Io was cooling off a bit, and Santana Garrett gave her a show, but the match itself seemed kind of inconsequential. David, Chris, I'm going to start with you with this one, because you are so positive, Paul.
No, I agree. And to me, Io and Santana, it was... The match I liked better than the idea, I guess, of it. And I loved the way Santana performed. I thought she brought it. She put on a great performance. You know, the match to me was, it was more fun towards the end as we got further into it. I almost thought Santana was going to pull it off. Obviously, as well as the things that, you know, we talked about in the past with her. She's kind of just there as well. She's been in the game a long time.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to make of her either. But I enjoyed the match a lot, and I thought her performance overall was... I don't want to say, you know, downplay Io, but I thought it was a little bit more shining than Io was.
True. Emily May, Santana Garrett has appeared sparingly on NXT TV. Mm-hmm. I think the last time we saw her, she was in a losing effort against Tainara. What is Santana Garrett's role? Is she going to be a star in her own right, or is she someone that's going to be helped to enhance other talents at this point in her career?
Well, I mean, you have to, with any talent that's moving into the PC and having, you know, having... the development and learning, like, you're not going to start right away having like these intense matches. Mm-hmm. So I think she's not going to stay in that position, but I think she does need to develop what her brand a little bit more and you know, the style that she really wants to focus on. I think it was a good matchup against Io Shirai. I think Io Shirai helped elevate her. And they had, you know, because Io Shirai has this very, like, sadistic style, you sure. know. And Santana kind of contrasts that, which is great.
Yeah. Pure athlete.
Yeah. So, so I think she will find her place, but it's going to just take time.
Can I put you on the spot here and say, do you think she will get the, and be in the consideration for the women's title within the next year or so? Was it? Was just like, I don't know.
Io Shirai or
no, Santana Garrett. Oh. Io Shirai, she good. She golden.
Okay. Santana's good. She has a talent for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it will be in the next year or not.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, it's a prediction, but I just figured.
I think that's where it's at with me too. I think it's just a matter of knowing what her brand is. I'm not sure what her brand is yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess.
And I'm not sure why, like, I'm on board to support her yet, which is fine. I think she's incredible, but I think I need to know. Have that backup.
I was with you until she hit that stiff shot to Io's face, and I was like, yo, Santana.
We both were like, oh. Well, like, you heard it, like, across.
Right, it was a beast,
it was,
you know.
A little stiff.
It was great. She put on a good performance, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's been around, you know, the independent circuit a really long time, so.
Yeah she has. And there's no denying her talent.
Yeah. So, I commend her, but I think, you know, with every type of athlete and every type of artist, you just develop.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're not an athletic person, if you can't wrestle, you don't get a ticket to the dance.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is the beginning. But moving on, in the spirit of the holidays, Miss Emily May is going to have a little bit of story time. So gather around with your loved ones.
Everyone gather around. We're going to have a little story time.
I need some hot chocolate.
Get some hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate.
Get your marshmallows in there. So... 'twas the night before NXT, and on every screen, not a wrestler was stirring, not even Chelsea Green. The ropes were tightened on the square with care, in hopes that St. Hunter soon would be there. The talent were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of Velveteen danced in their heads. and Dunn in his singlet and Grimes in his hat had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When in the locker room, there arose such a clatter. Champa and Balor returned to see what was the matter. Away to full sail they flew like a flash, tore down the roof with a high-flying splash. The belt on the shoulder of one confident Cole
Baby.
Gave all of his challengers a lofty new goal. Who would be challenging this suave blue-eyed beast? The archer in infamy, Damian Priest? A smash of his hammer tore quick asunder. They knew in a moment it must be Saint Hunter. More rapid than Rush, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Belair, now Baszler, now Riddle and Reeves, ooh, on Lerae, on Ripley, on Garza and Breeze. To the top of the rope, to the top of the cage. Now dive away, dive away, dive now with rage. So up to take over the talent, they flew. The cards stacked with matches, and Dakota Kai too. And then, in a hurry, they moved to USA, where on cable TV, they would finally play. They drew in the fans, and a new home was found. And down the entrance ramp, Keith Lee came with a bound. We basked in his glory and couldn't look back. He sure looked like a boss, just like our very own E-Mac.
Hey!
We all sprang from our seats for this show that we love, and away all of our favorites soared for above. For this was the year to exclaim with all our might, happy NXT to all, and to all a good night.
Yay! That's like a best new selling author right there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Are you ready?
Yes. Good job, Em. Good work, girl. Good
props
work.
You put over yes. Breeze and yes. Barry Dakota Kai.
poor Dakota, man. She can't catch a break.
Moving on, we had Pete Dunne against Travis Banks. One of the UK's finest Worlds Collide tournament in the distance. Pete Dunne, I was saying this before. I mean, he is great, but he's not the attraction I think he could be. But the match itself was okay. David, Christopher, thoughts about that?
I mean, I think you kind of narrowed that one down. Yeah, the match was good. Pete Dunne still... We can still see so much more from. I love that finisher. That was intense at the end. Was what do they call it, the suplex X Factor or something like that?
What was it?
The avalanche suplex.
The avalanche suplex that was, or
that
something.
Was gnarly, yeah. Man. Yeah. So that was awesome.
That's a signature move in the video game. I know that. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah. We're talking about that, right? Yeah. Like, oh, what?
Yeah. Signature into finisher.
Yeah, in the game, what would we do?
I mean, he's got Chamberlain all over him. I mean, he's gonna get a shot eventually, and I'm on board with Dunn. I like the story they told in the match. It was a good match. It was very entertaining. The spots were on, and you know, to see like. Say the two worlds collide, which is really cool because I'm just getting into the other NXT Europe, you know, that stuff. So, and I mean, again, too, I'm zoning on his name. I'm sorry.
As Travis opponent. Banks.
Travis Banks.
Banks. Yes, Banks.
Yeah. John Cena.
John
his
Cena.
Name is John.
Hey, we're just like no. Like, but I mean,
I was very impressed though how they both kept up. The spots were on. The maneuvers are quick. It was very just entertaining, man. I enjoyed it. Like it wasn't, you know, just kind of a slower. Here we go. It was very fun to watch, so I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I just want to say real quick before you jump in there, Maria and it says
to your palm.
Yes. And Kyle Franklin says, that was fire, Emily.
Thanks.
Yes, it was.
So thoughts on the match.
So, you know, I felt like it was a little slower match, you know. I like this idea of like the worlds colliding. You have like this bruiserweight classic style. But again, I felt like it was, you know, and it might have just been the pace of where we were in the show overall,
sure.
where we were getting ready to go into the women's championship match. So I felt like it was a little bit slow and that it wasn't as, you know, I wanted to see more. I wanted to see more above and beyond what, you know, I know Dunn can bring it. And I just felt like they're still, you know, with Travis Banks, they're still trying to find that match.
Yeah.
It wasn't as solid for me. I mean, it was solid wrestling, but it didn't really bring me into the moment.
Well, you talked about what Pete Dunne needs in past episodes, mm-hmm. but Travis Banks, as far as his NXT run, he's been in two matches, one against Jackson Ryker at the Forgotten Sons last week. He was impressive. This one, he was on the losing end, but he did try. Mm-hmm. I know the idea of the NXT territory system is to get talents in different locations so we see them. Are you on board with Travis Banks over these two outings? Did you want to see more, or you're like, I'm good, he's okay, he's solid, but nothing to write home about?
I'm on board with Banks right now because I'm impressed with his last two matches. Like I said, I enjoyed his match today with Dunn. I thought he put on a great performance.
And last week as well.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, with the Forgotten Sons, like I said, we forgot about him. And,
you know,
his athleticism, I think there's so much potential with that guy as well. I'm curious. Like I said, he sparked my interest. I'm curious. I want to see more.
Yeah, Kiwi Buzz is all it is.
I think
if
they keep matching him up with Dunn and people within that type of style, then I think it will be a good move for him.
Yeah, and as a fan of both NXTs, I hope people watch the NXT UK. I know it's on Thursdays at like 3 p.m. Yeah. Eastern, but I think a lot of
it's
guys there.
It's good to branch out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite overall brand. If I can be full disclosure, I feel like I like how NXT UK like mixes the gritty, but it's polished, mm-hmm. and it's like indie, but it's like produced. It's all these hard-hitting styles and characters. So just like as a slice-off one-hour show, I love UK. That's me personally. We should have an after show for that. Okay, moving on. Just me, guys.
Just you talking about it in my
apartment. That was a great match. Our main event of the evening was the NXT Women's title was on the line. Rhea Ripley taking on Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler looked like she was unstoppable for over a year, heading upon her second year of her reign, but it wasn't that way. Punk Rock alluded to early in his Punk Rock segment. Rhea Ripley goes over. Emily May, you marked out. Tell me why.
I was screaming and shouting because I have wanted Rhea Ripley to win forever.
Yes.
Forever. Rhea Ripley has been my like star of the week on Women's Wrestling Weekly.
Fair.
She like
been a boo thing as well.
She's been your boo thing, my boo thing, your boo thing, everyone's.
Everyone's.
She is so incredibly talented, and this, you know, Shayna Baszler, they kept building this up. Like, how many days has it been?
I know. At least 415 for this reign, 571 combined.
Solid
run. That is
super,
I mean, above solid. It is incredible. And, like, they built Shayna Baszler up into this unstoppable athlete, this beast, right? And Rhea Ripley, I knew when I first saw her come onto the scene that she was going to take it.
Right.
And I am so proud of her.
Yeah, I mean, she's young. She's
so
great.
Proud of her.
Yeah.
She's so young, and she has so much ahead of her. And I love, like, the fans, you know, that all came into the ring and, like, raising her up. And
which to me was hilarious. I was like, was Shayna that much of a jerk? Where I was like, she finally lost, yo!
Yeah! I think it's that classic, you know, like how Vince used to do, like, in with, like, WWE, they had the wrestlers come out. You know, and it's just a change in the guard. It's a new year, new champ, you know, all of it. But, and I agree with you, Em, it's so cool to see her win. I mean, she's the heartstring, you know, talent that we watch. She's, you know, that underdog you're rooting for. It just resonates with you. And again, obviously how they built Shayna this unstoppable champion, you know, like, is it possible? And then the way they told the story in the match to the back and forth, and where Shayna was almost, I mean, Ripley was almost out, and just the way she took a beating and it was great. And it was just one of those things where I agree with you. It just had that moment when she won. It's almost like we all won.
Yeah, right? We've all been rooting for Ripley, and we have all followed her journey. And they've told that journey and told that story really, really, really well.
Agreed.
And it paid off tonight. You know, and there was a few really special moments in tonight's match where, you know, Baszler had Ripley in that really incredible submission hold, and she's trying to crawl out towards the rope.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, this isn't it. Like, she's going to, no, I was like, it's not happening It is not happening here. She's going to fight back and turn it around. And the poor ref kind of got it a little bit, but
so the ref, like, so there was, health punch.
Yeah. I was like, well, it could turn really bad here, but I think she turned it around and she made us all root for her, which takes a really strong person to do that. And I think she's going to lead the women's division.
Oh, that's great. That's a great thing to hear, because she definitely, I mean, despite her age, she definitely seems like she has a lot of years in the game. So the next official takeover is in February. This happened before the end of the year. So the question I have to ask is, Shayna Baszler, Rumble entrant, Raw call-up, or transfer? What do you guys think? Where'd she go from here?
That that's tough, man, because obviously we send her somewhere else, and who do we have Ripley go? Who's her new feud?
You know,
is it Dakai? Oh, or is it you think we're gonna bring down Lynch?
I love Lynch to death, but the Raw Women's Division is so thin that they even alluded it on last week's episode. She's like, there's no one to fight, I'm being protected, there's no one-on-one competition. I think that would be the perfect
setup. You think she'll drop the belt like in Raw before coming down, or do you think she'll take the title with her?
You mean Becky? No, Becky's at Raw. We're taking Shayna. Right. We're taking Shayna to Monday nights.
I think Shayna goes on Monday nights.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but then who would be Ripley's rival?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who do you think?
You got Dakota Kai in the back there.
That's what you think we're going to bring up Dakota?
Yeah,
now?
You bring Dakota. I mean, Io Shirai won a match tonight. You
know, I mean, the Raw women's division is really like light.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think Peyton Royce is coming back, and you have Nia Jax, but that is not enough because with WrestleMania being what three months away, you need someone.
I think Nia going to NXT against Ripley would be something I'd want to see.
I actually would see that.
I would love to see that.
And I think if you bring Shayna up against Lynch, that I've wanted to see for the longest time. So absolutely, I think that's a good trade-off.
Let's see what the chat says. Dylan Matthews, Aussie, oi, says Shayna takes the Raw title off of Becky, and Io versus Rhea, please. I think that's the next move.
Oh,
because she doesn't have any friends. She had a match today, it was seemed out of place, but she won hand-handedly.
I wouldn't be as excited to see that, though. And you know, discredit to Io, but it's like, I don't think...
You have opinions, David.
Right,
cool.
No, I'm just saying.
It is AfterBuzz TV. You can have opinions.
I don't think that would be as entertaining to me. You know, they're both obviously phenomenal athletes, but I want to see something more with, like, a story, you know, more of, like, a villain.
That's going to happen, but you have to feed some of the Rhea first.
You have to feed it, but I'm interested to see in January what type of media and like promos and things they put out for maybe some of this new talent coming up, that maybe there's some people and maybe there's some surprises coming down the line
for NXT.
NXT,
absolutely.
There's even room for Raw, like even if you did bring some talent from NXT, like how we're saying that women's division, it's especially the tag team, it's pretty thin, it's running thin, you know.
The thing that really confuses me about the women's tag team division, because it is open to all three brands, so we can talk about it here, is that the last feud was on Raw, which totally depleted that entire side, but they could have gone to NXT and bring in some new people, or go to SmackDown where that division stacked as well. But to your point, that women's tag team division really needs a stable of ladies who can really make that division, maybe if they work only in that division, to raise the elevation of that.
Right.
You know?
And I mean, that gives so much opportunity, more growth, more room for stars. I mean, it's a good time, I think.
Yeah. And I, you know, back to, it's Ripley's time to shine right now. And I'm excited to see what she does leading up to WrestleMania next year.
So final question, 2020, Rhea Ripley seems like she has a rocket strapped to her back. How does the women's division change? Like, in what way are we going to interpret the NXT women's division?
I think that Ripley is a leader, and I think she has the opportunity to bring people together and bring people together.
Yeah, I love the fact that you have the legitimate badass, but the mixing of
the
rest.
Mix.
Yeah.
Like, she has a vulnerability and a soft side that I think we all relate to, and I feel like that's why she will make a good champion.
Sure. David, last thoughts.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that. I think that's exactly what it's going to be. You know, you have a face holding the belt. It's going to unite people. It's going to give that positive hope, that strength. You know, it's like a Cena. Basically, I mean, as far as just the vibe overall, just positivity, where someone you can really relate with someone, you know,
we need that sometimes in our life. But it's now time for us to get out of here. It's the last NXT episode after show of the year. Come back for 2020. But well, David Christopher, where can the world find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at David_official_Christopher. I said that backwards, but you know, you can find me at Bit TV Network or here every Wednesday with you awesome people. Tune in.
Awesome. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Emily Mayheller. I am your poinsettia princess for the night. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, you can follow the Ryan in the booth, right guy at Ryan Nielsen over there on all social media platforms. My name is Flobo Boys. You can follow me on Twitter at Flobo Boys, on Instagram at Flobito, and of course, Flobito.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have a happy and healthy new year. But until then, buzz you later.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.